Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk with our friend Tracy from the Southland County YMCA. Looking forward to that, and a big thank you to Tri-City Services, sponsoring that segment. Right now, we have with us on the phone a legend here in Wisconsin Rapids, a legend here at WFHR, helping us celebrate WFHR's 84th anniversary, longtime sports director, broadcaster, co-host, marketing, one of the best beards in WFHR history. Mr. Terry Stake is with us. Hello, sir.
Hello there, James. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Glad to talk to the people of Wisconsin Rapids again. I don't get there very often.
And we miss you around here, Terry. It's part of the reason why I really appreciate Pam reaching out and you guys being able to work this out and you being able to join us. How have you been?
Well, I've been okay. I don't know if the people know, but I have MS, so I don't walk very good anymore. But other than that, I'm going along pretty good. Still get to do a few things. Life is good. I'm living in the Northwoods where there's lots of lakes and deer and squirrels. So I'm happy.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. And appreciate you sharing that, Terry. Thank you for that. And I know you're still keeping pretty active in when it comes to sports and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I spent 42 years in sports, so it's hard to get away. I mean, I'm not doing anything anymore as far as the broadcast industry is concerned, but yeah. I follow everything very closely.
Yeah.
Able to go fishing, and with help I go deer hunting, but that's about it. That's about my activities now.
Hey, that sounds like pretty good. That sounds like a good set of activities. We're here to talk about WFHR and the history of it in local radio, but I'd be remiss if I didn't have one of my favorite voices in WFHR history and one of my favorite sports personalities to talk to about, commentating today, Terry. When you're watching a game, whether it's baseball, football, anything like that, commentating has changed a bit, but it's also kind of very similar to what it used to be. Is that the way you see it?
As far as sports is concerned?
Yeah, just sports commentary,
so, yes.
Calling a game and everything. Yeah.
Calling a game, yep. It's hard to change calling the game. I think, as far as radio is concerned, TV has changed. I think they talk too much on TV.
Hmm.
But radio, you got to paint a picture. And I always thought that was a great art for any sportscaster that ever did it, was to paint a picture of what it's like to the people that can't see the football matriculating down the field, or a line drive, or a 3-point basketball shot. I listen to some people up here, and there's a few good ones, and there's a few that need a lot of work. But I probably needed a lot of work too.
Yeah, you and me both. I'm still working at that. I'm still a work in progress. What were your first? Tell us a little bit about your first days here at WFHR, Terry. What were that like? How'd you get hired? All of that.
Okay. Well, I started in 1968. They needed a part-time announcer that would work weekends, and I did 2 hours in the afternoon. I think it was 4 to 6. I can't quite remember the times. And at that time, you had to have a first-class broadcast license to work in the evening. So the station sent me to school to get one, and I did. And then I worked evenings. We played country music. Back in those days, we used to sign off at 11 o'clock, and we always played the national anthem as we signed off. And when we first started, what was our FM station then was WWRW, and that simulcast with WFHR until I think it was 11 in the morning, through Coffee Clutch and the Trading Post at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they played music, and WFHR, I guess, played music. Two, we were all live. We didn't have any tape. There was, other than a Sunday night, there was a Jack Raymond show. Other than that, there was a live announcer doing live stuff, not most of it like it is now, automated. Hmm. Our staff was much bigger. We probably had 4 or 5 salesmen. We had 2 or 3. We had 3 copywriters. We had 3, and they were the people that wrote commercials. We had 3 newsmen, five full-time announcers and a part-time, and then I became one of the full-time. And see, what else did we have that's different now? We had a program director, like I'm sure you are, or station, and then a station manager, and then a general manager. So we had, the staff was tremendously bigger than it is now, or even when I left.
Yeah. And I remember some of those later, the last of those days and stuff. Even with all those people and the staff we had and what you were hired for, you've done so many jobs in radio over the years. Like many people in radio, you get in and you get hired for this, but you end up wearing a lot of hats. What were some of the other things that you started to do in broadcasting as far as outside of sports?
Well, that was the first 3 years were out of sports. I just did a evening show, and then myself, Bill Nobles, and a guy named Bob Reinhart, we switched where we worked every weekend. We worked Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And then we had two weekends off, then we worked a weekend. Then after about 3 years, I was trying to get our former general manager, who's no longer with us, but you know his son, Jack Gennaro, was. I tried to get him to let me broadcast sports, and he was adamantly against it. And I kept working on him, and I finally wore him down. After that, I became the sportscaster, and we were doing pretty darn well at that. And so that it just carried on and lasted until I left.
For so many, sorry, go ahead, Derek.
No, that's fine.
I was just going to say that. So for so many of us, we kind of, when we think of WFHR, we think of, you know, news, sports, these things. They're intertwined together, but it really wasn't that case early on. It was your presence. It was your work, along with many others, that really built a foundation to where now sports is an integral part of what we do here.
Yeah, I think that's right, because we did play-by-play. Bill Nobles did play-by-play of some sports, but we didn't do it like I did. I just kept bugging Mr. Gennaro and other people. And then when Miles Knutson came on as general manager, he was more for sports, so we kept increasing. I started broadcasting wrestling, which had never been done before anywhere, on a play-by-play basis. And the state tournament, now if you go to the state wrestling tournament, there's probably, 30 radio stations at the state individual tournament and that state team. And there's probably a radio station for every team that's down there on a play-by-play basis. So I started that, and then I moved into hockey, which I really didn't know a whole lot about, but I think I got better at as the years went on. But, you know, we did just about every major high school sport, which we had not done for many years before that.
Which is, you know, certainly the revenue aspect of that is huge for radio, huge for anything. But certainly the mission of WFHR as well, of covering local news and sports is a part of that. Giving a chance for these high school kids and for their parents to hear their names on the air and some of that. That's such an integral part of local radio now. And it's cool to hear kind of the beginnings of that. And especially when you mentioned that about wrestling, Terry, when you're if you haven't broadcasted before, you haven't called a game before. In most sports, you have somebody to look to. Okay, Vin Scully called a game this way in baseball. You know, Madden called a game in football this way. But with wrestling, as you mentioned, you didn't have any kind of like blueprint. Didn't really have an outline. How did that go? You know, in real time, trying to figure out how to give that, as you said, paint a picture for that.
Well, shaky at the beginning.
That's a good way to put it.
I didn't know much more about wrestling than the people listening to me. I used to go to practice for a few, not every night, but maybe once or twice a week. I would go to Lincoln High School's practice, and that was in the old Lincoln High School on the stage, and I would listen to what they're trying to do. So I did that. And I think any time you broadcast any sport, you need to be more than just show up at the game. You've got to go through some background. I went to football practices. I became an official and knew the rules. I think that I don't think every person has to be an official, but it wouldn't hurt you to know all the WIAA rules and what the major emphases are to this sport and that sport. I think that'll help you. But the guys that just show up and broadcast the game, unless they really played the game and really know the game, I think it's hard to describe, you know, like you said, paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably didn't paint a real clear picture of wrestling at the beginning, but it was so popular that, you know, that sport, because we were state champion, state champion, state champion, mm-hmm. That, you know, people would listen to me. And right at the beginning, there was no team sport. So I got to learn it on an individual basis first before they started having team tournaments. And I knew it a little better. And I called, people used to say, what is that? I said, I probably made that up. You know, I tried to describe it. I learned something from a fellow by the name of Earl Gillespie. I don't know if you remember who Earl mm-hmm. Gillespie was.
Yeah.
For about 2 years, I got to spend time with Earl Gillespie on the Badger football broadcast, because the great Arnie Strope had a heart problem, and he needed somebody to help carry and put out equipment. And he said, well, you want to go along on all the broadcasts? And I said, are you kidding me? You know? So
oh, yeah.
The first broadcaster, too, I sat up by Arnie above the football broadcast, and then Mr. Gillespie called me down and said, why don't you sit here and be my spotter? And he, at the end, he'd give me $10 or something, which I didn't really need. But one of the things we were talking about before we went on the air is description of the game. And he told me one thing that I'll never forget. He says, never talk above your audience. In other words, don't use so many technical terms that grandma at home cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different on television because you're seeing what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So my goal was to always make sure that grandma understood it, and that the person that was a top-notch wrestler that knew every term of wrestling and what was going on could understand it. And so that was what I tried to do with every sport.
Those are really good notes, Terry, not just for young broadcasters out there, for those of us that have been doing it for a while to rehash, and just in any form of life, any job you're doing out there. I think that's really good notes with that. We're speaking with longtime sports director and WFHR legend Terry Stake right now, celebrating our 84th anniversary. Terry, I wanted to talk a little bit about other anniversaries. We've done a good job of celebrating our anniversaries over the years and decades here at WFHR. You've been a part of a lot of those. Including one that I watched. I watch it every year around this time, or at least try to watch some of it. The big musical piece that you got, not musical piece, but there was one that you guys did over at the library, and had a big video presentation for it. They play it on our public access sometimes. You've been a part of a lot of these anniversaries over the years. Any of them stand out to you?
Boy, that 50th. That's the same one that you're visiting about. You know, we wore tuxes. We went to the library. We had, we went back to old time radio is what we did.
Yeah.
You know, back in the 40s, probably, or 50s. I remember, you know, there was, we used to have a lady come in on, this was before my time now, but I mean, we put it on that thing, come in and play the piano in the morning. And do some things. That was before my time, but that's what we tried to do on that one. And I don't remember, you know, I'd have to go rewatch it like you, but we put on a production at the library, and then obviously it was filmed and went on the air and went, I suppose, like you say, public access has it. I wouldn't mind seeing it again if I could find it somewhere, but that one sticks out. Our 60th, we brought in a car that was the year, an old car. And I remember I was the only one could drive it, because I was the only one who knew how to drive a stick shift, being an old farm kid, you know. And I tried to teach Greg Gack how to drive it. We went out to the West Junior High parking lot and let him try to drive a stick shift.
Oh, what I would have given to see that.
There were some moments where I was getting a little nervous. We did run over a curb.
That's great.
And then we put out a cookbook.
Yeah.
And just ironically, somewhat, I live up here now in Lake Tomahawk, and I go to church in Monocacy, which is not very far from here. And a lady that I knew in our church came up to me and brought the cookbook over and pointed to one of the people there. And she said, was that you? And I said, yeah. So, I mean, there are a few people that know what I do, and there's quite a few people from Wisconsin Rapids that go to the same church I do. Mm. So they know me from that, and they know what I did, so the people, other people in the church know what I did.
Yeah.
But,
Terry, when your name comes up in conversations over the years, or even recently, when it's come up and I'm telling people, oh, you're going to be on the air with us and we're celebrating our 84th anniversary, almost every single person will bring up wrestling. You're very attached to that and that sport, and in part because of some of the stuff I think you were saying before and everything. But I'm curious for you, when you look back at your career, what are some of the things that stand out to you? What are some of the things that whether you're proud of them or they're just moments that you remember very fondly? What are some of those memories you have?
Okay. You got 4 hours.
No. Yeah, right.
well, long as you mentioned wrestling, I think that because I started doing it, and at the time I started doing it, there was only one other radio station in the state that even broadcast the individual state wrestling tournament. So I kind of known for starting that. And of course it was easy to start because we were winning championship after championship after championship. And even the non-wrestling people would listen because their town is going for a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember that. That's a highlight. One of the lowlights, I think, was we went to the state soccer tournament, I think 4 or 5 times. And I was not a good soccer broadcaster. My kids both played soccer, at least on the little kids level, and my oldest son in high school. But I wasn't a big soccer fan, and I really didn't know how to describe it because it didn't have, you know, like football has yard lines, and basketball has the half court, and you got the red line and the blue line in hockey. But they're just running around in the field kicking the ball. I know there's strategy. I realize that, but I didn't know that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some people along to help me out because I really didn't know how, but I wanted the state high. When you're going for a state championship in anything, you want that on the air. And like you said, you want those kids' names on the air. I always said it's their day in the sun. Mm. I don't care if they're 22-1 or 1-22. It was still their day in the sun, and you got to make it as exciting for them as you possibly can. So.
Well, and it speaks to how much you cared about this job to put yourself in situations where you weren't comfortable, but you were going to do it because you wanted to get it out there. That's what a reporter does. That's that. I mean, that speaks really highly of the work, I think. That's I really appreciate that backstory. That's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you where I wasn't comfortable. Mr. Gennaro sent me out to do a ski jump one time.
Huh.
And I went on a snowmobile or something. They got me up to there where the skiers landed and they graded them or scored them.
Yeah.
So I'm up there and I'm trying to describe a guy taking off out of a ramp and landing on that snow. and that was probably a disaster. but I did that, but I was really uncomfortable there. Soccer wasn't so bad. At least I had somebody to help me out a little bit.
Mm.
I was thinking of another lowlight or another probably the funniest instance, and it's in my book. I'm not going to make a big deal out of the book, but we were at Randy Paul and Dave Miller, and I were at Elmwood for a Port Edwards High School playoff game, and in the booth, there was not enough room for three people. So Randy and I were at the counter where we had our equipment and stat sheets and stuff like that on. And Dave was behind us with a microphone that, Dave was keeping stats. Randy was behind with the microphone,
mm-hmm.
a long cord microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking around and all of a sudden, there goes the equipment. There goes Dave Miller. Randy had pulled the cord all the way around their legs, and Dave went over backwards. And I grabbed the equipment before it fell on the floor, and we never missed a beat. We might have laughed a little bit, but we kept right on going.
That's amazing. I had not heard that one. That's fantastic. As we're wrapping up, Terry, I did want to mention your book. Encourage people to check it out and everything. People can they still get your book somewhere?
Sure. You'd have to contact me. Mm-hmm. I can give them my address and phone number. If you just contact me, or I'll even give them a discount now because it's been out for a while, and $20 autographed, and it's my address is 7106 Bass Lake Road, Lake Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and that's 54539. And my telephone number is 715-421-6567. Or they can contact Pam at the radio station, and she knows how to get a hold of me.
Yeah, yeah. You can give our front desk a call, 715-424-1300. Same number it's been for a long time.
Terry, I'd just like to say, can I say something real quick?
Please, yeah.
Okay, I'd just like to thank a few people that helped me in my radio career tremendously, and obviously one was the great Arnie Strope. I mean, he told me what to do. Scott McIntosh was another guy that really helped me out as far as broadcasting and timing commercials and doing all those kinds of things. Those two people, I think, and Jack Gennaro, obviously, for putting up with me, because I was a thorn in his side for a long time because I wanted to do sports and he didn't want to do sports. And when I finally retired, they had a quick retirement party for me, and he was there. And I still remember him. I gave him a little jab yet that we made a lot of money in sports despite him. but he supported me. But those three people, I think, stand out more. I had a lot of people that I worked with, you know, Chris and Nick and Greg and, you know, you. There were tons of people I worked with. But those three people really got me started in an industry that I never thought I was ever going to make it in. And I've actually made it now into the Broadcasters Legends Hall of Fame. So, that was the culmination of my career, I guess.
Yeah, and we're not here without people like you in your career, Terry. We're here celebrating 84 years thanks to people like you and trailblazers like you. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for the time. Be well. We'll talk again real soon, okay?
Thank you very much, James, and hi to everybody in Wisconsin Rapids.
We'll be talking to you again soon, Terry. You take care. Thank you for the time. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.